Chapter 146. Sheds new and brighter light upon the very dark place, and contains the sequel of the enterprise of Mr. Jonas and his friend. The night had now come when the old clerk was to be delivered over to his keepers. In the midst of his guilty distractions, Jonas had not forgotten it. It was a part of his guilty state of mind to remember it, for on his persistence in the scheme depended one of his precautions for his own safety. A hint, a word, from the old man, uttered at such a moment in attentive ears, might fire the train of suspicion, and destroy him. His watchfulness of every avenue by which the discovery of his guilt might be approached, sharpened with his sense of the danger by which he was encompassed. With murder on his soul, and its innumerable alarms and terrors dragging at him night and day, he would have repeated the crime, if he had seen a path of safety stretching out beyond. It was in his punishment, it was in his guilty condition. The very deed which his fears rendered insupportable, his fears would have impelled him to commit again. But keeping the old man close, according to his design, would serve his turn. His purpose was to escape when the first alarm and wonder had subsided, and when he could make the attempt without awakening instant suspicion. In the meanwhile, these women would keep him quiet, and if the talking humor came upon him, would not be easily startled. He knew their trade. Nor had he spoken idly when he said the old man should be gagged. He had resolved to ensure his silence, and he looked to the end, not the means. He had been rough, and rude and cruel to the old man all his life, and violence was natural to his mind in connection with him. He shall be gagged if he speaks, and pinioned if he writes, apostrophe said Jonas, looking at him, for they sat alone together. He is mad enough for that. I'll go through with it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, hush. Still listening. To every sound. He had listened ever since, and it had not come yet. The exposure of the assurance office, the flight of Crimple and Bullamy with the plunder, and among the rest, as he feared, with his own bill, which he had not found in the pocketbook of the murdered man, and which with Mr. Pecksniff's money had probably been remitted to one or other of those trusty friends for safe deposit at the banker's. His immense losses, and peril of being still called to account as a partner in the broken firm, all these things rose in his mind at one time and always, but he could not contemplate them. He was aware of their presence, and of the rage, discomfiture, and despair they brought along with them, but he thought of his own controlling power and direction. He thought of the one dread question only, when they would find the body in the wood. He tried, he had never left off trying, not to forget it was there, for that was impossible, but to forget to weary himself, by drawing vivid pictures of it in his fancy, by going softly about it, and about it among the leaves, approaching it nearer and nearer through a gap in the boughs, and startling the very flies that were thickly sprinkled all over it, like heaps of dried currants. His mind was fixed and fastened on the discovery, for intelligence of which he listened intently to every cry and shout, listened when anyone came in or went out, watched from the window the people who passed up and down the street, mistrusted his own looks and words. And the more his thoughts were set upon the discovery, the stronger was the fascination which attracted them to the thing itself, lying alone in the wood. He was forever showing and presenting it, as it were, to every creature whom he saw. Look here. Do you know of this? Is it found? Do you suspect me? Apostrophe, if he had been condemned to bear the body in his arms, and lay it down for recognition at the feet of everyone he met, it could not have been more constantly with him, or a cause of more monotonous and dismal occupation than it was in this state of his mind. Still he was not sorry. It was no contrition or remorse for what he had done that moved him. It was nothing but alarm for his own security. The vague consciousness he possessed of having wrecked his fortune in the murderous venture intensified his hatred and revenge, and made him set the greater store by what he had gained. The man was dead. Nothing could undo that. He felt a triumph yet in the reflection. He had kept a jealous watch on Chuffy ever since the deed, seldom leaving him but on compulsion, and then for as short intervals as possible. They were alone together now. It was twilight, and the appointed time drew near at hand. Jonas walked up and down the room. The old man sat in his accustomed corner. The slightest circumstance was matter of disquiet to the murderer, and he was made uneasy at this time by the absence of his wife, who had left home early in the afternoon, and had not returned yet. No tenderness for her was at the bottom of this, but he had a misgiving that she might have been waylaid and tempted into saying something that would criminate him when the news came. For anything he knew, she might have knocked at the door of his room while he was away and discovered his plot. Confound her, it was like her pale face to be wandering up and down the house. Where was she now? She went to her good friend, Mrs. Todgers, apostrophe said the old man, when he asked the question with an angry oath. Aye, to be sure. Always stealing away into the company of that woman. She was no friend of his. Who could tell what devil's mischief they might hatch together? Let her be fetched home directly. The old man, muttering some words softly, rose as if he would have gone himself, but Jonas thrust him back into his chair with an impatient imprecation, and sent a servant girl to fetch her. When he had charged her with her errand he walked to and fro again, and never stopped till she came back, which she did pretty soon, the way being short, and the woman having made good haste. Well, where was she? Had she come? No. She had left there, full 3 hours. Left there? Alone? Apostrophe, the messenger had not asked, taking that for granted. Curse you for a fool. Bring candles. Apostrophe, she had scarcely left the room when the old clerk, who had been unusually observant of him ever since he had asked about his wife, came suddenly upon him. Give her up. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the old man. Come. Give her up to me. Tell me what you have done with her. Quick. I have made no promises on that score. Tell me what you have done with her. Apostrophe, he laid his hands upon his collar as he spoke, and grasped it, tightly too. You shall not leave me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the old man. I am strong enough to cry out to the neighbors, and I will, unless you give her up. Give her up to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Jonas was so dismayed and conscience-stricken that he had not even hardihood enough to unclench the old man's hands with his own, but stood looking at him as well as he could in the darkness, without moving a finger. It was as much as he could do to ask him what he meant. I will know what you have done with her. Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Chuffy. If you hurt a hair of her head, you shall answer it. Poor thing. Poor thing. Where is she? Apostrophe, why, you old madman. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Jonas, in a low voice, and with trembling lips. What bedlam fit has come upon you now? Apostrophe, it is enough to make me mad, seeing what I have seen in this house. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Chuffy. Where is my dear old master? Where is his only son, that I have nursed upon my knee, a child? Where is she who was the last, she that I've seen pining day by day, and heard weeping in the dead of night? She was the last of all my friends. Heaven help me, she was the very last. Apostrophe, seeing that the tears were stealing down his face, Jonas mustered courage to unclench his hands, and push him off before he answered. Did you hear me ask for her? Did you hear me send for her? How can I give you up what I haven't got, idiot? Ecod, I'd give her up to you and welcome, if I could, and a precious pair you'd be. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if she has come to any harm, apostrophe, cried Chuffy, mind. I'm old and silly, but I have my memory sometimes. And if she has come to any harm, apostrophe, devil take you, apostrophe, interrupted Jonas, but in a suppressed voice still. What harm do you suppose she has come to? I know no more where she is than you do. I wish I did. Wait till she comes home, and see, she can't be long. Will that content you? apostrophe, mind. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the old man. Not a hair of her head. Not a hair of her head ill-used. I won't bear it. I have borne it too long, Jonas. I am silent, but I can speak. I can speak, apostrophe, he stammered, as he crept back to his chair, and turned a threatening, though a feeble, look upon him. You can speak, can you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, thought Jonas. So, we'll stop your speaking. It's well I knew of this in good time. Prevention is better than cure. Apostrophe, he had made a poor show of playing the bully and evincing a desire to conciliate at the same time, but was so afraid of the old man that great drops had started out upon his brow, and they stood there yet. His unusual tone of voice and agitated manner had sufficiently expressed his fear, but his face would have done so now, without that aid, as he again walked to and fro, glancing at him by the candlelight. He stopped at the window to think. An opposite shop was lighted up, and the tradesman and a customer were reading some printed bill together across the counter. The sight brought him back, instantly, to the occupation he had forgotten. Look here. Do you know of this? Is it found? Do you suspect me? Apostrophe, a hand upon the door. What's that? Apostrophe, a pleasant evening, apostrophe, said the voice of Mrs. Gamp, the warm, which, bless you, Mr. Chuzzlewit, we must expect when cowcomers is 3/4 2 pence. How does Mr. Chuffy find hisself tonight, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp kept particularly close to the door in saying this, and curtsied more than usual. She did not appear to be quite so much at her ease as she generally was. Get him to his room, apostrophe, said Jonas, walking up to her, and speaking in her ear. He has been raving tonight stark mad. Don't talk while he's here, but come down again. Apostrophe, poor sweet dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Gamp, with uncommon tenderness. He's all of a tremble. Apostrophe, well he may be, apostrophe, said Jonas, after the mad fit he has had. Get him upstairs. Apostrophe, she was by this time assisting him to rise. There's my blessed old chick. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Gamp, in a tone that was at once soothing and encouraging. There's my darling Mr. Chuffy. Now come up to your own room, sir, and lay down on your bed a bit. For you're a shaken all over, as if your precious jints was hung upon wires. That's a good creeter. Come with Sari. Apostrophe, is she come home? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the old man. She'll be here directly minute, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Gamp. Come with Sari, Mr. Chuffy. Come with your own Sari. Apostrophe, the good woman had no reference to any female in the world in promising this speedy advent of the person for whom Mr. Chuffy inquired, but merely threw it out as a means of pacifying the old man. It had its effect, for he permitted her to lead him away, and they quitted the room together. Jonas looked out of the window again. They were still reading the printed paper in the shop opposite, and a third man had joined in the perusal. What could it be, to interest them so? Apostrophe, a dispute or discussion seemed to arise among them, for they all looked up from their reading together, and one of the three, who had been glancing over the shoulder of another, stepped back to explain, or illustrate some action by his gestures. Horror! How like the blow he had struck in the wood! It beat him from the window, as if it had lighted on himself. As he staggered into a chair, he thought of the change in Mrs. Gamp exhibited in her newborn tenderness to her charge. Was that because it was found? Because she knew of it? Because she suspected him? Mr. Chuffy is a lying down, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp, returning, and much good may it do him, Mr. Chuzzlewit, which harm it can't, and good it may, be joyful. Apostrophe, apostrophe, sit down, apostrophe, said Jonas, hoarsely, and let us get this business done. Where is the other woman? Apostrophe, the other person's with him now, apostrophe, she answered. That's right, apostrophe, said Jonas. He is not fit to be left to himself. Why, he fastened on me tonight, here, upon my coat, like a savage dog. Old as he is, and feeble as he is usually, I had some trouble to shake him off. You hush. It's nothing. You told me the other woman's name. I forget it. Apostrophe, I mentioned Betsy Prigg, apostrophe said Mrs. Camp. She is to be trusted, is she? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that she ain't. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mrs. Camp. Nor have I brought her, Mr. Chuzzlewit. I've brought another, which engages to give every satisfaction. Apostrophe, what is her name? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Jonas. Mrs. Camp looked at him in an odd way without returning any answer, but appeared to understand the question too. What is her name? Apostrophe, apostrophe repeated Jonas. Her name, apostrophe said Mrs. Camp, is Harris. Apostrophe, it was extraordinary how much effort it cost Mrs. Camp to pronounce the name she was commonly so ready with. She made some three or four gasps before she could get it out, and, when she had uttered it, pressed her hand upon her side and turned up her eyes as if she were going to faint away. But, knowing her to labor under a complication of internal disorders, which rendered a few drops of spirits indispensable at certain times to her existence, and which came on very strong when that remedy was not at hand, Jonas merely supposed her to be the victim of one of these attacks. Well, apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, hastily, for he felt how incapable he was of confining his wandering attention to the subject. You and she have arranged to take care of him, have you? Apostrophe, apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.